Well, welcome to another combination sermonette slash sales report, mostly sales report. Fred mentioned packing all those Bibles. I think he's hoping that after I handle 10,000 Bibles, maybe some of it will rub off. You'll notice we have over here, it's called a scrolling banner. And another gentleman I market books with ordered it. And I had a special scroll done up for trade shows. And it's battery operated. It'll run for nine hours just like that. But we used that at the, we exhibited the Bible at the, back in April at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference that was back at Opryland in Nashville. And then this summer, we had the same banner and the Bible sitting out at the Christian Booksellers Association in Denver. So it's a nice addition. And Fred's going to have a new banner made that has the Bible and the new artwork. And then the other side, which now has an ad for the Jewish New Testament, will be the Harmony. And he's made arrangements with his local bank up there in Hollister to put it in the bank, which is a great
1 week.
For one week, which is a great promotion. So anyway, he thought you'd like to see it, and it's real handy to carry around. Now, another I mentioned the new artwork. How many of you? I don't know if you. How many of you saw this piece of artwork at the feast? Okay, well, I'll pass this around. Due to the miracle of modern computer technology, this. As Fred mentioned, I've been involved in the with Dr. Martin and the other original Bible project for about 20 years, and I had saved this. This is a picture of King James, and I tore it out of an old Economist magazine. And this is the ad you'll now see. If you go to the newsstand and pick up like Christian Science Monitor, you'll see this ad in there. And this is a picture of King James. And our artist, who lives here in Laverne, Arlene, was able to Photoshop a picture of this Bible being held by King James. So you've seen it for yourself. King James is holding Fred Coulter's Bible lovingly cuddled under his arm. So we've had a couple people that have called up and ordered Bibles say, I want that picture. So we've had some of these... printed up and are going to mail those out. And then another inspiration that a direct mail company had, and this is I just got this sample last week. You can go to what's called a mailing list broker and purchase lists, like everybody that's bought this item or that item. And so we're going to test a list of 10,000 people that have bought Bibles or Bible study aids and send them a mailing piece. And on the outside, it'll say something like, hear ye, King James has a special gift for you. And then inside, and this was the art director, the other guy's idea, will be a bookmark with a picture of King James. And then on the back of the bookmark will be exactly what's on the bookmark with the Bible. It'll be the legend of the books in the original order. And then the mailing piece, when you open it up, it'll have the same sales copy and an offer to, you know, call the toll-free number or mail in a coupon for the Bible. So there's lots and lots of ways to market this. And since Fred has decided to print up enough Bibles to last till Gog and Magog come down at the end of the 1,000 years, it'll keep all of us busy. So I'll pass this around. Keep these together. And anybody has it, you know, people come up with ideas. So anybody has any other marketing ideas, why feel free to mention them. But right now we literally ran out of Bibles at the end of June. So July, August, September, we were out of Bibles. We had a few of the new ones air freighted in. And so the new shipment will come in a few days and we'll get all the back orders out. And right now we have the King James ad out in about 15 different publications, and probably by November, December should be selling, you know, maybe 350 or 450 a month, and hopefully, if things like this work, more than that. So that's basically the, you know, we're always looking for new publications to get in. We ran across one a few weeks ago. It's called American Free Press, and it's just, you know, nicely done conservative newspaper. For some reason, the people who take that newspaper are Bible-oriented. They're conservative. So, and it's only, I think, like 40,000 circulation. So there's a lot of different ways to reach people. And I think I mentioned last time, the amazing thing about this Bible and the ad, and by the way, in our ad, we've retained exactly, only the visuals have changed. We retained exactly the same copy that you wrote up a year ago. And that copy, that's what really sells it. The visuals will get people to stop on the page, but it's the copy that, you know, helps explain all the details of the Bible. But what was I starting to say? Oh, the interesting thing about the ads is they'll work just as well, like in the Saturday Evening Post or a non-religious publication. For instance, we're in Biblical Archaeology Review all last year, but we put the ad in a completely secular magazine called Archaeology. It has no religious connotation whatsoever, and the orders are just as strong out of Archaeology magazine as they are out of Biblical Archaeology. So it's an amazing thing to see that both Ernest Martin and Dr. James Tabor and Mr. Coulter always felt that if you produced a Bible based on the original order, it would have wide commercial appeal. And as it turns out, they're all right on that. It really does. So that's kind of a recap of the marketing thing. And then Mr. Coulter asked me to give a little recap of my history of the Original Bible Project, and I'm trying to remember. Sometimes you have a hard time remembering exactly how things came about, but back in the 80s, the late 80s, some of you probably remember the Katoras. Mr. Katora worked for the church, and Dan Katora, their son, and I had a cassette manufacturing business. And at that time, Dr. Martin, who is the inspiration and the research behind this, I was doing his audio cassettes. We would manufacture the monthly cassette that he was sending out. And so I kind of got to know Dr. Martin, and in the meantime, I got the idea of marketing some of his books through Biblical Archaeology Review. So I've been marketing Dr. Martin's books and ads off and on for 21 years. And then it was shortly after that Dr. James Tabor, who used to teach Greek and Hebrew at Ambassador College, and Dr. Kuhn decided to create a nonprofit foundation to produce a Bible based on Ernest Martin's research. And Ernest Martin had originally written a book, a doctoral thesis called The Design and Development of Holy Scripture when he was over in England, and then expanded that out into a book. So anything, one thing led to another, and in 1991, a nonprofit organization was created with Dr. Robert Kuhn as the president, Dr. James Tabor as editor-in-chief, and myself as kind of the secretary to promote this and develop this Bible. So Dr. Tabor started working on it 91, 92, 93, 94, went through a lot of revisions. And keep in mind, Dr. Tabor has, at the time, and still has responsibilities with the University of Charlotte, North Carolina. He's written a couple of books for Simon and Schuster, and also has an archaeological excavation in Israel. And it's just taken him a lot longer. So to get his version of this done, in the meantime, Mr. Coulter started on his 5 years ago. It's not the same as the one that Dr. Tabor is designing, but there's one big difference. His is done. we kid Dr. Tabor's original Bible version has large portions of the Old Testament, portions of the New Testament done, but completing it is just, you know, just something that he can't get done right now. So we always kid Dr. Tabor that the need for his Bible will be superfluous, because by the time he gets his original Bible done, the resurrection will have occurred, and you can just ask the people what they said if you have a question. So I'm hoping he does get his done at some point. So like I said, that's kind of a recap of my involvement, and I think I mentioned also when I graduated from Ambassador in 1968, moved to Pasadena in 1971, and ended up living right next door, Fred, Dolores, and the kids. So it's amazing how all these relationships mingle, and 20 years later, they'll come together in some form that you just couldn't imagine. So if anybody has any questions on the marketing or the sales, or better yet, any ideas, we would be happy to entertain them.
Tell us about referrals from people who just see the Bible and then call and ask them.
Oh, we get in most mail order businesses, let's say if you send out 100 of something, you'll get 5% or 10% back who people, they change their mind, they don't like the product or have buyer's remorse. For every 100 of these we send out, we maybe get one back, one or two at the most. One or two, it's a very low return ratio, and we get so many people. Actually, we get a lot of people ordering two or three the first time they call, and then a lot of people will call back and order more for their church pastor. We had one guy in Michigan ordered seven, one for each of his six kids, and then one for himself. A lady in Milwaukee ordered 30. For her Bible study group. So as this gets out and more people see it, you'll get a lot of word of mouth referrals. And I'll tell you about one, there's a lot of these, but one interesting order we had. I answered the phone one morning, and a gentleman was on the line, and so took down his name, and the name was Ken Dahlberg. And I thought, you know, for some reason that name is familiar. So anyway, kept writing his address and gets down to his zip code, and he pauses. He says, you have to forgive me. He says, I'm 92. He says, I just can't remember my zip code. And I said, oh, that's okay. I said, we can look it up. I said, but by the way, Mr. Dahlberg, your name sounds familiar for some reason. And he says, well, he says, you can go onto Amazon and buy my biography, my life story. And I said, well, what is your background? And he said, well, I was an Air Force pilot. And I said, no, you know, for some reason, when I heard your name, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking Watergate. He goes, oh, he says, that was me too. And Ken Dahlberg was Maurice Stan's assistant in the committee to reelect the president. And it was Ken Dahlberg's check that was discovered by the two reporters at the Washington Post that broke open the whole Watergate case. And he's the only one of all those people, Colson, Liddy, Haldeman, he's the only one still alive, and he's up in Minnesota waiting to get his hands on this Bible. So I thought that was interesting, but you meet a lot of interesting people over the phone in handling all this. Yes?
Tell about the call from Scott at 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, we're advertising another magazine that does very well here. A lot of you watch the History Channel, and the History Channel has a magazine that we several months ago decided, well, we'll test it, and it pulls very well out of History Magazine. So we put the ad in the BBC History Magazine in England, and there we have a toll-free number. You can pick up and dial toll-free in England, and it rings right through to my cell phone, which is sitting around here somewhere. So the number had only been hooked up. This has only been about a week, so the number had only been hooked up about 4 hours, and our first order from England was actually a gentleman from Scotland. I think his name was Angus. And he had seen our ad on the BBC magazine, and then we got another mail order where we have an office over in England that'll get the mail, and then they'll forward the coupon and the payment to us. So we're starting to get a lot of other people in different countries interested in marketing and distributing this.
What was it he said to you over the phone?
Well, I'm trying to... Yeah, he wanted to. I forget exactly. I get so many calls, and but he just wanted to get a hold of it right away. And another very funny man called a couple months ago, and just really, really witty. And started talking to him and found out he used to be one of Bob Hope's joke writers. That's what he did for a living. He wrote jokes for Bob Hope. And he was just, you know, back and forth. And he called up again because we were backordered when he knew where his Bible was. He says, listen, he says, I'm 90. You better get that thing out here fast. So, anyway, that's it. Yes.
Marketing to Bible
bookstores. At the Christian booksellers, we contacted a couple of distributors up there, and we're talking with one company called Destiny Image, and we've also shown it to the people that buy for Costco, and shown it to Barnes & Noble. And partly due to the economy, nobody is wanting to buy up a large inventory, plus we're going to make some design and maybe cosmetic changes to the Bible. We're still working on that, but that's definitely on the horizon. That'd be a huge market, because again, once people see it, then they understand the quality. Once we can break through and get it into the bookstore, then that'll really be terrific. Yes.
Bob, I noticed that you said that our distributors wanted.
Yes, and that's basically the there's a company called Destiny Image. So we've sent these out to a few bookstores now, just in the last few weeks, since Christian booksellers. There's one in Manhattan, Kansas. But books, it takes a long time to get a new book, whether it's a Bible or any kind of a book, into the normal bookstore chain. And again, there's so many Bibles out there, unless people see it, they don't get how good it is just by reading the copy. They have to hold it in hand and think, oh, wow, this is a marvelous production. The two equivalent products in the Bible industry are the Oxford Lambskin Wide Margin, Oxford University Press, and Cambridge. Both of those Bibles sell for like $160 to $240. So this Bible at $100 is really a tremendous value compared to what you would get from the two other producers that even bothered to produce something of this quality.
How does one become a distributor?
Oh, we just, you know, they'll put it out in their books. In other words, there's a Christian bookstore in Manhattan, Kansas, and they bought two or three, and they'll set them out, and as they get orders from customers, they'll just order more. So there's no formal process. It's just that we're a Bible bookstore, and we'd like to sell your Bible.
No, not a question. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. In this new printing, and we have leatherette, and we have lambskin. So are we pushing?
It just gives the customer a choice.
Okay.
So it's always better to have, you know, a couple different versions. All right. Anyway, so hope to be back soon with more ideas, and appreciate listening here, letting you listen to my comments. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Just want to add a couple of things to what Bob said, and certainly appreciate your enthusiasm to get out there and find all these marketing areas and get the Bible out. We're investigating right now about advertising on WND, WorldNet Daily. And so we'll find out how that will work. But all of these things will dovetail in. And as Bob mentioned, you get a lot of referrals. People just see the Bible and say, I've got to have that Bible. So we're real happy about that. And we hope that it goes really well, that God will bless it, reach out to a whole lot of new people, because when you get the Bible, you've got the whole gospel. Okay? For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.